At a stoplight, a lady in front was going through papers on the driver's seat. And when the light changed to green, she was still looking at her papers. When the light turned to red, she still had not moved. A driver in the back began, with his windows up, screaming epithets and beating on his steering wheel. While the traffic light was still in red, a police car arrived in the back and noticed an abnormal behavior of a driver in front. A police officer went out, gun drawn, tapped on the window. "You can't arrest me for hollering in my car," the driver protested. But the officer ordered him into the back seat of his. After about 2 hours in a holding cell, the arresting officer advised him that he was free to go. The driver said, "I knew you couldn't arrest me for what I was yelling in my own car. You haven't heard my word." The officer replied, "I didn't arrest you for shouting in your car. I was directly behind you at the light. I saw you screaming and beating your steering wheel. And I said to myself, what a jerk. But there's nothing I can do to him for throwing a fit in his own car." Then I noticed the cross hanging from your rear view mirror, the bright yellow Choose Life license tag, and the Jesus is coming soon bumper sticker, and I thought you must have stolen the car. How low the driver would have felt when the officer noticed all that Christian marks in his car. As believers, we may be strong to manage stress and frustrations, but sometimes reach our limit and would lose control. Could we maintain sanity when our life is caught in turbulences? How do we keep our faith and trust God while in trouble? How do we deal with low moments when we feel displaced? Jacob certainly felt that he was displaced from comfort of his home. He had a family, but could not live with his family anymore. He misbehaved and cheated his brother Esau 2 different times. Esau became so mad that he wanted to kill his twin brother. People say that the identical twins are as close as 2 people can be. It is like having a built-in best friend for life. They share a lot of commonalities and often choose the same careers. But on the other hand, identical twins have their own distinctive personalities despite coming out of the same parents. The same was with Esau and Jacob. Esau loved outdoor life while Jacob was a mama's boy and would love to stay home with his mom. This distinctiveness of their personalities was a source of conflict. Isaac loved the game dish that Esau cooked for him. Isaac, in his old age, told Esau to make one for him so that he would give Esau the blessing of the firstborn. Overhearing Isaac's wife, Rebekah directed Jacob to go to Isaac with the dish she prepared and receive the blessing. Esau later came to Isaac and learned what Jacob did. He was infuriated and wanted to kill Jacob. Esau would only wait until Isaac passed away, then would kill Jacob. Rebekah advised Jacob to escape to her brother Laban in Haran. Jacob just left his home in Beersheba in southern Israel, and Haran, located at the southern border of Turkey, was about 3,300 miles away. He already missed his home, but could not go back and face his brother's threat. Speaking of leaving home, I read about a high school graduate bound for college. He was the last child to leave home. He packed his car with every essentials he thought he needed for college, had breakfast with his mom, said goodbye, studied his car, and drove off with a smile. He was filled with excitement, but a bright rising sun quickly made him realize that he left his sunglasses on the nightstand. He turned around his car, drove back home, walked in to find his mom still sitting at the kitchen table, crying. His mom told her emotions in check, held her emotions in check at seeing her last son leave home. But when her son walked back in, they both lost it. They hugged each other and cried and cried. This mama boy, Jacob, could not do that. He screwed up so badly that his returning home would mean death. The Bible says that Jacob just left home and reached a certain place. Now, it's very interesting. The Bible says a certain place, even though at the end it was identified as Bethel or the place called Luz. Jacob just stopped there to stay overnight. So a certain place was okay. I mean, it wasn't any particular place, just a place on the way to Haran. A certain place that the Bible describes speaks a thousand words. A place without a known name was simply out of nowhere with no lodging facilities. It speaks of an uncertain condition, life without not just comfort, but purpose and meaning. A distressed place that Jacob or no one would not want to be in. Jacob would have passed by so many places like that through that long escape route. In that open field, he lay down for a rest and used a stone as his pillow, which also gives away Jacob's condition of life. He was not carrying even basic travel kits to help him stay comfortable. He left home in a hurry with the bare necessity to travel and had to endure a lot of discomforts on the way. Do we not sometimes reach this kind of gloomy place, a place where life feels rugged and thorny? We do not know where our life is. We are confused and feel lost. We feel like an aimless wanderer. As believers in Christ, we know where we are ultimately headed. We will all go to see God someday, but we often feel displaced on the way. If any of us feel like that, listen to the good news. In this place of obscurity where Jacob did not expect anything good, he saw angels descending and ascending on a stairway reaching to heaven from the earth. Then God appeared and promised to give him the very place of uncertainty where he lay. Jacob felt that he was all alone in the remote field, but God was there with him. He woke up from the dream and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." He built an altar with a stone pillow and worshiped God. He called the place Bethel, house of God. Beth, that's a house, and El is God, house of God. What a transformation. A place of uncertainty, a place without any name, a place of murkiness transformed into a very memorable place, a place of God's intervention, a place of God's presence. According to Genesis chapter 35, Jacob came back from Haran to that place, Bethel, and settled there. Decades later, at Bethel, he wrestled with God, and God gave him a new name, Israel. This uncertain place where he first lay down just to stay overnight became the center of Jacob and his family's life. Now let's look at the word Bethel, house of God. The house of the Lord is the first manifestation of the tabernacle in which God came to dwell with people. This later was developed into temple. The tabernacle and the temple were the foreshadows of the Messiah, who is the embodiment of God with people on earth. Jesus specifically mentioned that his body was the temple itself in John 2. He said, "Destroy this temple, and I will rise it up again in 3 days," that he talked about his body. Jesus, the Messiah, offered his body for our salvation. Now, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus lives within us. In summary, Bethel, the house of God, was an initial term for Emmanuel. God came to dwell among us, the Emmanuel, the initial form of that term that we are very familiar with. So, in a theological sense, Bethel and Emmanuel means the same. God with us, and the presence of the divine in our lives through Jesus. We are sojourners on earth. We constantly travel from one place to the other. I mean, to me, it's particularly true. How many churches have I been through? Many, many churches. It's like I'm like the old term, itinerant preacher, the circuit rider in a way, right? Our itinerary stops over places of glory and honor, but also places of insignificance and frustrations. But God can transform our place of uncertainty into Bethel, a place of his promise and presence, just exactly as it happened to Jacob. Imagine Jacob's enduring journey to Haran and back to Bethel, passing through many more unknown places. Our journey is similar to his. We have been through many uncertain places and times where we have felt lost. Many of us may feel like that right now, even. You may think that your glory days are long gone and you are in a place of insignificance. If you do, trust God's power of transformation and his promise to be with you until the end. You probably heard the powerful story coming out of World War I of the deep friendship of two soldiers in the trenches. Two buddies were serving together in the mud and misery of that wretched European stalemate. Month after month, they lived out their lives in the trenches, in the cold and the mud, on the fire and on the orders. Two soldiers became particularly close. Day after day, night after night, terror after terror, they talk of life, of families, of hopes, of what they would do when and if they return from this horror. On one more fruitless charge, Jim fell severely wounded. His friend Bill made it back to the relatively safety of the trenches. Meanwhile, Jim lay suffering beneath the night flares, between the trenches, alone. The shelling continued. The danger was at its peak. Still, Bill wished to reach his friend, to comfort him, to offer what encouragement only friends can offer. The officer in charge refused to let Bill leave the trench. It was simply too dangerous. Ignoring the order from his officer, ignoring the smell of explosives in the air, the concussion of incoming rounds, and the pounding in his chest, Bill made it to Jim. Sometime later, he managed to get Jim back to the safety of the trenches. Too late. His friend was gone. The somewhat self-righteous officer, seeing Jim's body, cynically asked Bill if it had been worth the risk. Bill's response was without hesitation. "Yes, sir, it was," he said. "My friend's last word made it more than worth it." He looked up at me and said, "I knew you would come." We may feel like that when we are fighting life's fierce battle by ourselves and are losing the battle. And when we are in a place of many questions and doubt. But you know, as Bill did, Jim's friend did, God is going to be there with you. God is going to turn the place of our misery into Bethels. Emmanuel, the house of God, the place where you are right now, however you may feel, that's going to be the Bethel. And then Jacob came back to the very place and settled there and prospered there. Look back. I'm sure you have had a lot of Bethels on the way. And there will be many more Bethels on your way and on my way. Amen. Amen. Amen.